Welcome back. It's Mark Steiner, and there is a new play at Center Stage. You know, my dear friend Kwame Kwayarma, the new artistic director of Center Stage, brought this play called The Whipping Man to Center Stage, directed it. He is one of the gems of our city, and I was supposed to be there opening night, but couldn't because we had work to do here. But I went last night and just was, you know, you've heard me say this expression sometimes. When I go to a theater, when I see a play, and you see somebody sing or act on stage, you see a performance, and I've heard to it as like dropping to your knees. That's what you felt like watching this play last night. So we're lucky to have all three of the actors here in the studio with us. Michael McAleese is with us.
Hey, how are you?
Good to have you. Kevin Morrow.
Hey, how are you
over
doing?
Here.
Yep.
And Johnny Ramey.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. Good to have you on the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You look a lot older on the stage, brother.
Well, good. I'd rather keep it there than in life, okay?
Yeah. It's all the makeup. It's all the makeup.
Good. It was good.
I'm mad at you for saying that.
So let's talk about this play, though. This is a play, and we can talk about let you guys take off on it, but this is a play that takes place in 1865, the end of the Civil War. A Jewish Confederate veteran comes back to his family homestead. Mm-hmm. And it's the interaction between him and two former slaves that he owned, one older, one younger, and everybody is Jewish.
Yes.
The slaves are Jewish.
Correct.
The slave owner is Jewish.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, that's an interesting way to begin a conversation.
It's a great moment to start the play because, you know, I mean, like, I come out there limping along and there's always that gasp when when Kevin's character...
The older slave
yeah. does the Hebrew first and
that's
the
right.
blessing. And
do Hebrew really well, by the way, man.
Thank you very much.
Really well.
I had some good training on that, I must say.
It was really good.
Yeah, we had a
really
rabbi good. Come in. And
Rabbi Fink. Yeah. Shout out to Rabbi Fink.
Oh, yeah Rabbi Fink.
He's
rabbi.
The man.
Yeah.
He is the man.
Yeah.
That guy
that's
was
great.
Fantastic.
That's great. Yeah. So I'm curious. This is, the whole idea of this taking place over Passover and the struggle over freedom and the notion of freedom. I mean, tell me what, just as I mean, as actors prepare for a part, get into that era, get into the mindset of the characters, talk from that character's point of view. I mean, what does this play mean from the character's point of view?
You want to go, John?
Well, and starting from the youngest.
Johnny Ramey. Yeah.
Johnny Ramey. My character, John, I look at him as a rebel. And everything he does comes from... newfound freedom. It's 1865. It's April 13th. You know, it's like, what do you do? You know, what happens when you're set free, but you have nothing? You have mm-hmm. no home. You have no livestock. You have no land. What do you do? And coming from that perspective amazes me. You know, and he explodes from there.
He does explode from there. It explodes from there.
Well, yeah, and playing the Jewish Confederate... soldier.
Because none of you are Jewish.
No.
Two of you are black, but none of you are Jewish.
Correct.
right.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, the jury's still out on me. But yeah. I think the thing is that I think when Caleb returns home, I think the thing that we sort of kept coming back to time and time again was that idea of what it meant to be from that time period and just what was normal and just sort of being at war for 4 years, being Confederate soldier for 4 years, being a slave owner for your entire life, what does that reality mean to somebody? And I think that was something that Kwame really kept coming back to, what a man of his time means and what normal means for the time period. And that was something that was definitely a challenge for me in terms of, I think, my own level of comfort in terms of what you would have experienced growing up in that period of time and what would have been
right.
accepted and what would have not, you wouldn't have bat an eye over. So I think that was something that was, kept coming back for me.
Kevin?
For Simon, it's the idea of the dream and the hope for freedom, that thing that all slaves have dreamt of, and now it was actual reality. And so Simon's being able to see his future, the plan of his future that he always hoped for his family, to have a home, to be making money, to build a future that would be outside of somebody else taking care of him. He can take care of himself. He's been taking care of this family for so long. He obviously knows how to do that. But now he can just fend for himself and build that future, give a better life to his kids. It's the way I approach Simon was the idea, it's what we all, everyone, regardless of what race you are now, you all hope to give that to the next generation, to your kids, have them to have a better life than you have. And that's the way I approach it for Simon. Coupled with what John was saying of the idea of you start off where you have nothing, and now you're free and you still have nothing. So you're trying to build a future from nothing.
Mm. What nothing was of nothing.
Yeah.
King Lear. Nothing King can come of nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right.
There you go.
So as actors, what was it that, I mean, I know actors are always looking for work, but I mean, other than that, what was it that attracted you to this play? I mean, you know, you can audition for many things. And this is, you're all out of New York, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we all have some really interesting stories that how we got to do this play.
Right.
And Kwame, our artistic director, also our director, is the center of all that. For me, it's Kwame. He flew up to New York, and we had tea, or tea, he's British. We had coffee. I had coffee. He had tea.
Yeah, tea, and he has right there, right.
Because I'm an American.
Damn it.
Yeah. Kwame, he flew up. He was generous enough because I was supposed to do a show with him, a previous show with him called Gleam.
Oh, yeah, right.
And turns out I didn't do it because I had another offer to do another show. And he flew up to New York and was like, Johnny, I need you. And, like, yeah, I don't know if it's his British accent, but he's just convincing.
He's a tall man, too.
And he's tall. He's intimidating.
And that charismatic smile is just...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Open.
Yeah.
That's a reason why, one of the main reasons why I'm here. Plus, the play is just, it's a challenge.
It's a huge challenge.
It won't let you go.
Physically, emotionally, the play is a huge challenge.
The journey is incredible for all three of us, separately as well as collectively.
Right.
I would say. My reasoning for doing it is Kwame is wonderful as well, but having heard of the play and having read it, it's like I thought, you know what? As a man that's over a certain age, there aren't a lot of great roles for African-American actors to play. And I thought, I'm at that point, and I thought, I've got to hit this one. And to be able to hit this one early on before it's been like out for 5-10 years or something.
Right.
At this point, I feel very, very fortunate to have got that opportunity, but I really wanted to do it. And fortunately, it worked out with Kwame that he said, yo, brother, you'd won. So.
Yeah, you are. You killed that part.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, and I think what they both just said is completely. It's a play that really leans on the actors to really step up, and I think that it really only gets off the ground if we're all sort of playing in unison. And you don't really get a lot of opportunities to play with just two other actors where it's just three of us out there on stage, really sort of. Riffing in a way,
feeding each other.
Like, yeah, we really are. We're feeding each other, and just like that.
Yeah.
And
the thing about what makes a good play, and a playwright, I read the play before I saw the play, is that the ability to have a play that has humor, but is intense, always under the surface, no matter even under the humor, it's there.
Yeah.
But quite often in life, though, we laugh. To relieve the tension of a tight situation is what we do naturally as humans. To be able to write it, and is another thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That he had that ability to write it, and
it resonates in the 21st century. Before we take a break here, we're about to do that. So we have to talk about your public radio and come back to conversation with our three actors about this incredible play that nobody should miss. Down the center stage, that's there right now, called The Whipping Man. I wrote to Kwame. We had an email exchange this morning. I wrote to him this. About how I was just blown away by the play and how his production of it. But I wrote, this is about where we are now, living in America today. To me, I wrote, the play resonates with a 21st century subtext. Mm-hmm. It raises questions that Jews must wrestle with today about how we've handled power in the last 60 years in America and Israel. It raises the complexity of the relationship between two peoples of the diaspora, the love, the hate, the admiration, the power, the pain that has defined the black and Jewish worlds for 150 years in America. It is what Seder should wrestle with in our family every Passover, a family we call our Afro-Hebraeo-Indio tribe. I mean, it was...
He wrote that?
I wrote that.
Oh,
to
dang,
him about
smart.
Well, thank you, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We came to the right radio show, didn't we?
But we'll come back to pick up on that note and what you think that play meant and what it means to us now in this 21st century, what it says to us. We'll be right back. Don't go away. The cast of Whipping Man is here in the house tonight, the new play at Center Stage, an amazing play Michael Michalizzi is with us. Michalizzi is with us, who plays the character Caleb. We have Kevin Morrow, who plays Simon, and Johnny Ramey, who plays John. The last two characters are former slaves. The first character is the former slave owner. All three are Jewish on the plantation after Appomattox. There's so much I want to say about this play, but I can't give it away.
And that's the thing, and it's good that you know that.
So talk about what you think this play says to people now in 2012. Ooh. What does it say now to people in 2012?
I mean, the talkbacks that we've had have been a live wire. I mean, it's interesting. I was
good
sort of surprised.
Good and a little explosive.
Yeah, little explosive.
But in a good way.
But in it's been really, and everybody's really interested and really, a lot of people stay around afterwards, and we have, I think you can see on the Center Stage website, there's talkbacks and afterthoughts, and sometimes we're there as well. And but people are really excited to sort of get their hands dirty. And the play, I think one of the reasons it's such a well-written play is because it is not easy on the audience. You have to decide for yourself a lot of things. There are open questions for a reason, and it makes you participate and sort of cope. I mean, Kevin, do you want to?
I was going to say culturally, in terms of whether it be the Jewish culture or the African American culture or somebody outside of it, looking at it, both sides are at odds with each other in terms of the right and wrong of this situation. The Jewish culture, in terms of like, okay, we were Jews, we were slaves in Egypt, and yet here we are in America, and we have slaves. We have people indentured to us,
it's a challenge.
They're fighting with that and knowing that in their own history, and that this is a real part of this history, then within 1865, so to speak. And
it's almost like peer pressure.
Yeah.
During that point in time, you know, it's like in Leviticus, the Torah, Old Testament. I have this passage that John says. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmates. But if you read that whole passage, it says there's an indentured servant. So at the seventh year, you let them go and give them a little bit of cash or coin or whatever it is. And so what happened in the South with these Jewish households that said at the seventh year, we're just going to hold on to these slaves? Mm-hmm. And what, and that's a challenge for my character. It's at odds because we're at odds with the Jewish faith, and we're at odds with human nature, or a worldly higher being nature. It's a super challenge, and I think there's more questions that come out of this play than answers, and that's good for me.
Yeah,
and I think, and also just a real quick thing is, I think one of the things the play does really well is that it's really about many things, but also it's really about family, and I think that at least is part of. You can see connections with yourself, whether or not you are Jewish or not. Characters, given circumstance, but is it dependent on that? I think in one way or the other,
the three characters have become a family.
Yeah, and that's something that Kevin's character sort of brings up as well about that, and that I think really for an audience, we get that laugh line pretty consistently.
Yeah.
You
don't get to choose your family. Who chooses a family? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's also, I mean, it's this interaction between. Two oppressed groups, also one oppressing the other at the same time, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the question of liberation and human relationships and the depth of what love means or what sex means, what male relationships mean. I mean, it's all wrapped up in this play, and it's a very...
Love is a big issue. We had at a talk back, I don't know if this is going to give it away, but this woman, is that going to give it away?
It might give it away, but...
We can start and stop. It's
okay, tell me. But one of the main questions is, how can a slave master love his slaves?
Right. That doesn't give it away. Right.
That
right.
doesn't.
No.
And
right.
a woman was truly at odds with that. She couldn't grasp her head around 1865, this happening.
As opposed to it being a 20th century thought.
Right.
Right. It's because it's a very tough thing. I mean, there are, well, I can't give these whole stories now because I want to focus on the play, but there are families I know that are descended from slaves and slave owners. Mm-hmm. Where people fell in love as slaves and left the plantation to do it. I mean, it's a very complex thing.
Yeah.
And that's the complexity of what this play brings out.
And also in terms of the African-American community of having a question about, in terms of my character, why it seems that he is so happy to be a slave within this household.
Right.
And staying in this servitude, and I don't want to mess up anything for people to come see it, but it's all these questions. There are so many questions.
And your character also has this question, who in some ways is the most independent despite being a slave.
Exactly.
So it's this whole complex, you know, where
it's
your
character...
It's the
dream and the hope for a future.
...kind of shoots with independence. There's and other stuff that's woo. Dependent. It's just so...
He shoots, but he doesn't score. He's throwing up bricks, you know?
And that's the human condition for a lot of people. Yeah. And you know, not to keep going. Keep talking.
Go ahead, you're on.
You got it. No, I just think that the other side of this, too, is the fact that the audience is one of the questions that keeps getting asked, I think, is about how do people – why does this happen in the play? Why does that happen in the play? Or why doesn't this happen in the play? And what's interesting is that we all, as humans, have the ability to rationalize behavior. And that's something that I think the play brings up all the time, and the audiences still have a hard time going, well, I would never do that. Right. And it's this idea of we've been able to rationalize behavior forever, and it's important to just be aware that that muscle exists so that we're not taken by surprise. Mm.
For me, this play, one of the things this play does for me, and I think it will for the audience, it for me, it shows the importance of what it means to be an actor.
Hmm. Oh.
And what a play can do as well on stage. And it's just that to me, folks, we're gonna try to bring these folks back when we're not in the pledge drive. Maybe get the play right on. Kwame will be with us next week to talk more about it as well when he comes back to town.
He's in Italy.
He is. I don't like him anymore.
Yeah, no, either.
I mean, I told him I didn't like him either. Yeah. So
he was complaining about being in Italy.
Yeah.
I know. What is that?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
You complain about being in Italy.
No.
The best food on the planet.
No sympathy here.
Give me a break.
It's a whole other hour.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk about it when he gets back. Michael Michelese is with us, who plays Caleb. Kevin Morrow, who plays Simon. Johnny Ramey, who plays John. The three characters in the play, The Whipping Man. Just an amazing, powerful play. It runs through the May 14th. So you have plenty of time to see it.
13th.
13th?
13th.
Okay, these guys know when to go on home. So May 13th, and it will have them back, continue more conversations about this play, because it's an important play to see. And we're going to tell you how you can see it by contributing to WEA in just a minute. Guys, thanks for all
thank you.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
Thanks.
Great play.
Thank
see you at the theater next week again.
Great.
All right.